Now we're still in the book of Judges, chapter number 16, so we'll just take up our reading again from God's Word, Judges chapter 16. We'll read from the 15th verse, and we're fast approaching the end of our series, looking at sermons in the life of Samson. Just one more Lord's Day to go after this one, concerning Samson's life. We're going to read from verse 15 of Judges chapter 16, and we always encourage God's people to keep the Word of God open before them as we read the Word of God and then throughout the rest of the meeting. And we know the Lord will speak to us through His Word. And we trust that we've got willing hearts this morning to receive the Word of God with meekness, as the Word of God is able, it says in Scripture, to save the soul. Judges 16 then, in verse number 15, speaking of Delilah, it says, "And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words, and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees and called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after that he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together for to offer a great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into your hand." And when the people saw him, they praised their God, for they said, "Our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." We'll just end there at verse 24, and we know the Lord will bless the reading of His truth to all of our hearts. You'll find our text this morning in verse number 22, where it says concerning Samson, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after that he was shaven." Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after that he was shaven. And our subject, friends, for this morning is finding a way back from failure. Finding a way back from failure. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. Can we still our hearts for a few moments and seek the Lord? And we would encourage you to pray that the Lord will speak to your heart and that the Lord will visit us this morning and encourage your hearts. Let's just wait upon the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for Thy Word. We thank Thee that Thy Word is a living Word. We bless Thee for this book that lives and for a living God who speaks through it. And Lord, we pray that Thou will come and visit us as never before. Revive us and quicken us, and we will call upon Thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Lord, I ask now in the Savior's name for that sacred anointing that comes from above. I pray, O God, that Thou wilt hide me behind the cross. Let my name perish and be forgotten. But, O God, I pray that for Thy glory Thou wilt work in hearts. May lives be given fully, recklessly, and unreservedly to God this morning. And we pray that we would never look back from this moment on, but we would rather look continually on to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So Lord, speak now in the Saviour's name. Do a work that will count for time and for eternity. And revive us again. We pray in the Saviour's name. Amen. If we're honest this morning, in the latter part of the life of Samson, there's been so much by way of discouragement, even for the Christian, so much to discourage us whenever we look at this great man of God, and we're always prone to think in our minds what might have been in the life of this great deliverer if only he had kept his eyes upon the Lord. The latter part of Samson's life is full of tragedy, full of pathos, and full of heartache, and full of tragic loss. And probably the first part of chapter 16 of the book of Judges is amongst the most tragic in all of the Bible. But whenever we get to verse 22, we see light at the end of the tunnel. We see the sun of hope rising on the horizon of an otherwise discouraging landscape. Because we're told there in verse 22, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. And so there's hope now dawning on the horizon and entering into a new day for Samson. We see a ray of light shining into this man's heart and into this man's circumstances. Last Lord's Day, we considered the harvest of sin in the life of a Christian, how that sin in the life of a Christian is not only blinding, but binding and also grinding. And then previously, the week before that, we considered the tragedy of losing the presence and power of God, reaching that time in the life of spiritual service whenever we get our eyes off the Lord, and it's we get our hands off the plow and we begin to look back and God says goodbye, even to his people. And the blessing of heaven is removed. And these things, tragically, have happened in the life of Samson. But here in verse 22, it begins with the word, howbeit. That word could be translated, nevertheless, or in spite of all that has gone before, the hair of his head began to grow again after that he was shaven. Samson had one haircut in his life. And those locks, those seven locks of his hair, spoke of his consecration, spoke of his Nazarite vow, and publicly and shamefully, Samson revealed the secret to this prostitute, Delilah. She saw to it that his hair would be removed and his head would be shaven. And that was a mark of shame and derision for this great man of God. But yet we're told in verse 22 that the hair of his head began to grow again. And maybe some of the more mature members of our congregation this morning, you would give your eye teeth for that to happen to you. And you would just love it if your hair would grow back. But tragically, for some of you, that's never going to happen. My wife used to dog me in the mornings with accusations that I was losing my hair. She would wake up a little bit before me and she would tell me, you know, you're starting to get a little bit thin on top. And this really troubled me. And so every time I go to the hairdressers, I always ask, well, what's it like there up on top? And she'll say, well, starting to go grey, but it's still quite thick. And I don't mind if I go grey, but I just don't want to lose it. Because once you lose it, unless there's surgery, it's not going to grow back. But Samson's hair began to grow again. The hair of his head began to grow after that he was shaven. And that which Samson had tragically lost, in a moment, in an instant of time, slowly but surely, it began to return. The strength, the power that the hair was symbolic of began to return. The vows of consecration, separation unto God, glad service for the Master, fellowship with God, walking with God, prayer, it all began slowly but surely to come back again, because that's what Samson's hair symbolized. His hair began to grow again. And it shows us this morning that failure need not be final. Failure need not be final. At last there's hope on the horizon for Samson. One preacher said that failure in the Christian life is an invitation to have recourse to God. And maybe this morning there's somebody in this great service today, and you're maybe a stranger to us, you maybe belong to the church in Coleraine, but somewhere in your life there's been the tragedy of getting your eyes off the Lord. And there's been spiritual failure and heartache in your life. The power has gone. The blessing of God is gone. The presence of God is gone. Fellowship with God is gone. And that wonderful testimony that you once did have, that you could have, sadly, has gone and you've been a failure, not only in your own private life, but maybe even tragically before the world as well. But the hair of the head can begin to grow again. And you can find a way back from spiritual defeat and spiritual failure right here in this meeting this morning. If only you will listen to the call and the voice of God speaking right into your conscience. One of the tragedies is, for so many, whenever we fail and we get our eyes off the Lord and we fall at a particular hurdle, that we feel there's no real point going on because I might make the same mistake again. And I might let the Lord down again. And so rather than returning to the Lord, we seem to recline more and more and more, and we resign ourselves to the fact or to the thinking that life has to end grinding corn in the prison house at Gaza. Not so. Failure need not be final. You can find a way back from failure. There's four things that I believe this text speaks to us about concerning Samson when it says the hair of his head began to grow again. First of all, I believe it symbolizes the renewal of a vow. The renewal of a vow. Now, we have noted before that Samson's strength did not lie in his hair. There's a little chorus we used to sing with the children. Samson was a Nazarite. His hair was thick and long. And that is just the reason why his arms were big and strong. Well, I don't believe that Samson in the eyes of man was big and strong. I don't believe he was one of these Herculean characters that was rippling with muscles, because Delilah says, "What is the secret of your strength?" It was something that could not be explained humanly, something that could not be seen outwardly. It was something supernatural, and it was something that was secret, hidden from man. And the strength of Samson was not in his hair, but his strength was symbolized by his hair, because Samson's long hair was symbolic of his Nazarite vow. Do you remember back there in Judges 13, verse number 5, that Manoah and his wife, they received that visitation, and Manoah's wife is told, "Thou shalt call his name Samson, and he shall be a Nazarite unto God from his birth. And there shall never come a razor near his head." So his long hair was a symbol of consecration. The Nazarite, the word Nazarite means to be consecrated. And so long as Samson was consecrated, separated, fully surrendered to his God, living that life of holiness, living that life of separation and consecration, Samson could enjoy victory, Samson could enjoy power, and Samson could enjoy blessing in his life. And whenever Samson therefore got his hair cut, it was an open violation of his vows, and his vows were broken. And whenever the Philistines came in to bind him and they trampled underfoot the locks of his hair, it was as if Samson's vows were now lying on the ground. He was no longer connected to the God that he loved, to the God that he served, to the God that once he had been separated unto. But nevertheless, howbeit, in spite of it all, his hair began to grow again. Symbolic of Samson renewing his vows. Samson had got his hair cut once. He had lost out with God as never before. And Samson is certain and sure that he never wants to do that again. Somebody here today, and maybe you have broken vows. The book of Ecclesiastes says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse number 4, "When thou vowest a vow unto God," it says, "defer not to pay it. For God hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." And if there's one thing, friend, that will sap spiritual power and strength out of your life, it's making a vow and saying, "Oh Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to the end." And then you step back from that vow and no longer do you want to serve the Lord. And you promised that you would serve the Lord. You promised that you would pray. You promised that you would witness. You promised that everything that you are and everything that you have is given to the Lord, and you made vows. And you can look back to times maybe in meetings, conventions, rallies, that you maybe stood up publicly in a meeting maybe like this, or you left and you went home, and in your bedroom or in your closet or in the secret place, you gave your life to the Lord and you said, "Lord, take full control. I now present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. No longer do I want to be conformed to this world, but Lord, I want to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, and I want to prove in my life what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Many of us have been there. But I wonder, are we still living lives that are on God's altar? You see, the thing about a living sacrifice, it can so easily crawl off God's altar, can't it? That which was once on God's altar can very easily be taken off again. And those things that we gave over to the Lord, and He says, Lord, it's yours, you can have it. Take my life, take my hands, take my heart, take my lips, my talents, my gold, whatever it is. Lord, it's yours. And then the hair's been cut. And we've broken our vows. And that's a very serious thing to do. It's a serious thing to make a vow unto God and not to fulfill it. God views it as serious, even if we don't. And maybe you promised to serve the Lord, and you've broken that vow. You promised that you would go through with God, and you would be pure and spotless and holy and seek to be filled with God's Spirit, and you would only be His. And that vow is broken. Well, friend, if that's the case in your life, and that is the reason for your failure, that vow needs to be renewed. You need to go back and trace your steps and go back and, like the man that lost the axe head, you remember whenever Elisha and the school of the prophets, they came to Elisha and they says, the place where we dwell is too straight for us. And they went down to the river and they began to clear a clearing and they began to cut down trees. And one man was swinging his axe and the axe head went off and went into the river. And immediately he stopped. And he went to Elisha and says, I've lost the axe head. It's gone and it was borrowed. It wasn't mine to begin with. And that's symbolic of spiritual power. Samson's strength was not his own. It was given to him by the Lord. And Samson knows now in Gaza that he's lost his strength. But there's no point trying to go on serving the Lord if we've lost strength. The first thing that young man with the axe did was he stopped. And one of the great fears that I have that in Christian service, is it not true that yes, we know that we've lost the power. Yes, we know that things have changed and we're not cutting down trees anymore, but we want to look busy and all we do is we make a racket and we'll not cut down many trees with a pickaxe handle. Or the shaft of an axe if there's no head on it. So we need to get back to that place where we lost the blessing. And so it is with Samson. Samson had to begin again where he left off. Samson's failure came at that moment whenever his head was shaved. So Samson lets the hair begin to grow again. He gets back to consecration. He gets back to separation. He gets back to living a surrendered life. He gets back to fellowship with God. You see, it's like old altars are now being rebuilt. Before fire fell on Mount Carmel, what did Elijah do? He rebuilt an old altar. What did Abraham's servants do before the rain came and before the floods came? They redug the old well. And maybe in your life and mine and in this church and in your church, wherever you're from, we need to get back to rebuilding old altars, to redigging old wells, and to renewing old vows. Friends, I'm fully persuaded and convinced that it is not some new thing that the church needs. For 2,000 years, the gospel has worked. For 2,000 years, prayer has worked. For 2,000 years, separation has worked, and there's a cry that goes up from the camp, oh, now we need a new thing. Now we need a new cart. No longer should we be carrying the ark with rings and with staves and lifting up this thing and having a burden for it. Put it in a new cart. And whenever they made a new cart, there was a song and there was a dance in Israel and there was a big noise that went up. But new carts, friends, lead to death. Uzzah touched the ark because it fell, and the ark would never have fallen if they hadn't put it in a new cart. The people of Athens always desired, we're told in Acts 17:21, to hear or to see some new thing. Some new thing. Well, God says in Isaiah 43:19, I will do the new thing. He says, I will do a new thing. Shall it not spring forth? Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. God says, I will do the new thing. if you do the old thing. Jeremiah 6, verse 16, the prophet says, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. So Jeremiah says to people, if you want to see a new thing in your nation, if you want to see God work, if you want to see God make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert, ask for the old paths. He says, you will find that it's a good way. You'll get rest for your souls. He says, we'll not do it. We know better than God. And friends, is it not true that the old saints had a secret that we have lost? We're trying everything to try and kickstart something. We're trying to flog a dead horse. But the old saints had the secret. Now, I'm not saying that you have to dress or look or talk the way they did 100 years ago. But it seems that whenever I go around meetings, people say to me so often that they used to sit in meetings where holiness was preached. It's not preached anymore. They used to sit in meetings where prayer was preached upon. It's not preached anymore. They used to sit in meetings where surrendered life was preached upon. It's not preached anymore. Or the Spirit-filled life. Or breaking through with God. Or going through with God. And there were nights of prayer and half nights of prayer. Those things have gone. And now we are the ones that are trying to create a new thing. Whenever perhaps all we need to do is go back and let our hair grow again. And renew our vows. And live lives that are surrendered. You see, friend, there is no substitute in all the world for being filled with the Holy Ghost. And that is the one thing that Samson had that he needed that made the difference, and that's the one thing really that he lost, the anointing of God's Spirit. And you cannot work up spiritual blessings with physical means or with fleshly means. Samson's hair began to grow again. It speaks of the renewal of a vow. It also speaks of the remittance of time. It doesn't say that he woke up one morning and his hair was as long as it was before he got it shaven. It says his hair began to grow again. A long period of time would elapse before Samson's hair would be as long as it was the night before he got his hair cut. You see, it takes a lot longer to grow your hair than it does to get it cut. Whenever I was at school, back there in the 90s, everybody had curtains. Hair described as curtains. And I fell into this trap of growing these long curtains, and you got it shaved up underneath and you grew it down, and then you got it long enough that you could put it in your mouth, and then that went out of fashion and you got it shaved off completely. And it took a lot longer to grow the hair than it did to get it cut. And you can spend years, friend, building up a testimony before the unsaved. Before your workmates, before your family, from you first get saved and they say, I'll give you 6 months. And you build up this testimony, and people begin, maybe after a long period of time, to look at you and say there's something real about the life that that person is living. And yet, through failure, you can lose that testimony in a moment of time. And it can take years for you to get back to the place where you once were. Not with God, but with the world. You see, forgiveness is instantaneous, but favor with men is gradual. Down in the prison house, Samson is grinding corn, and he's got plenty of time to think. Time has elapsed. Samson's life has become a daily grind. Monotonous, mundane, blind. In the darkness, he's just round in circles, round and round and round as he grinds the corn. But I'll tell you something, in that prison house at Gaza, far away from witnesses, there was a work being done in Samson's life. And I have discovered in my short time as being a preacher of God's word and even as being a Christian, that the best and the deepest works are often done in the secret place. Far away from witnesses, where nobody sees and where nobody's watching, generally that's the work that is done with God. If you cannot be spiritual in the secret place, you won't be spiritual, and you are not spiritual in the public place. And so Samson is grinding corn, and he's got plenty of time to think. Plenty of time to consider his ways. Plenty of time to contemplate how different things could have been if only I had honored my God. Plenty of time to pray and to ask the Lord for an occasion again against the Philistines. And so over this long period of time, as Samson's hair begins to grow again, Samson is investing his time walking with God, seeking God's face in prayer, renewing his vows, and considering his ways. And friends, the Bible is a book that calls us to self-examination and to consideration. Haggai the prophet says in Haggai chapter 1 verse 5, "Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways." So God's asking his people Israel, just stop. Now look at yourselves. Think about the way you're living. Think about the direction you're going. Think about the way that you've come. And just consider all your ways. Consider your home life. Consider your church life. Your public life. Your private life. And your spiritual life. He says you have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but have not enough. Ye drink, and are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. And so it's just this vicious circle, like a dog chasing its tail, trying to find satisfaction away from God. And the Christian was never designed to be happy outside of the center of God's will for his life. And then he says again, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain, bring wood, and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and that ye run every man unto his own house." So what's God saying to his people here? He says, you're more concerned about your little kingdom than you are about my kingdom. You're more concerned about your life than you're concerned about my desires. You're concerned about your house rather than my house. And he says, I want you to think about that. And all the while, Samson, I believe, is doing exactly the same. And he's thinking, I could have done so much, but I was so concerned about self. And God will only allow a Christian, a believer, to go so far whenever they're not concerned about the glory of God. I'm convinced in the secret place in that prison house at Gaza during those lonely hours, Samson learned how to pray in the secret place. He had nothing else to do, and the Lord continually was reminding him, because of what he was physically now doing, grinding corn for the enemy, that he lost out with God. And in that prison house, in the mundane things in life, Samson was getting to know the Lord. Maybe you feel that your life is somewhat mundane. It's dry. It's boring. Well, friend, you need to get to know God in the mundane things of life. If you've got plenty of time, use that time to get to know the Lord. The psalmist said, "Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." Whenever I was young and, I suppose, single and had few commitments, and all I did was go to work in the morning, go to church at weekends and meetings during the week, plenty of time. And I'll tell you, there were so many hours that were spent in the secret place just getting to know the Lord. God still had a purpose for Samson. Failure was not final. Even Samson's sin and Samson's failure could not stand and would not stand in the way of God in his life. You see, you cannot thwart essentially the purposes of God. God had a plan for Samson's life, and that was to deliver Israel from the bondage and the yoke of the Philistines. And ultimately, God would get what he wanted out of Samson's life. You see, Psalm 33, verse 10 says, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his hearts to all generations." The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. And God still had a plan and a purpose for the life of Samson. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. And so I see Samson's hair begin to grow again. It speaks of the renewal of a vow, the remittance of time. It also reminds us of the reviving of faith. As Samson's hair began to grow, I believe so did his sense of purpose. So did his conviction that despite what he had sung to, if there was repentance and if there was renewal of vows, and if he gave his life back to God, God could do something again in the life of Samson. And so in that prison house in Gaza, his faith began to revive it began to live again, and again in Samson's life we see some of the principles for personal revival. But it was a gradual thing. Sometimes we pray, Lord, give me faith, and we feel that somehow the Lord's just going to take a big syringe and inject gallons of faith into our hearts. But it often doesn't work like that. Faith is something that needs to be exercised like muscle. It needs to grow. And as faith is resisted, that's whenever faith becomes strong. And everything in Samson's life militated against the idea that someday God would use him again mightily. He was blind, he couldn't see. He was bound with fetters of brass. He was in a pit in a prison cell grinding corn. None of the Israelites even maybe knew where he was or could envisage what he was doing. They had given up on him. And maybe everybody today has given up on you. That is to say, everybody apart from God. I have a God today who does not throw the clay away. But he takes that clay, and if he can't work with it, he breaks it. And he kneads it, and he makes it again another vessel. And as Samson is round in circles, it's just as if Samson is in the center of the potter's wheel. And his faith is being revived. Faith which has been lost or wounded through sin can take a long time to recover. But ultimately, it will recover. Why? Because the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 2, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. Who would have ever looked at Peter the night that he denied the Lord three times with oaths and with cursings and think that that man would preach one sermon that under God would lead to the conversion of some 3,000 people 50 days after he denied the Lord? Who would have thought it? Nobody but the Lord had said, Peter, I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. The word converted there means restored. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so Samson's faith is being revived in direct conjunction with his vows being renewed. And so long, friend, as you have that faith as a grain of a mustard seed to give your life back into the hands of God and to believe that God can do something with your life, even whenever you can't, God can revive and quicken your faith. But you will notice that his faith also revived while he was under the Philistine yoke. This man's under a yoke. He's been treated like an oxen. And he's grinding corn in the prison house at Gaza. But all the while, his faith in the midst of adversity is being revived and strengthened. And this is often the principle that the Bible speaks about. For example, the book of Romans chapter 5, verse 3 says, we glory in tribulation. And here's a man that's going through intense tribulation. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Samson, you're just going to have to be patient. You're not going to bring any deliverance to Israel anytime soon. You're going to be in this prison house for quite a while until your hair begins to grow again. And I know that you've renewed your vows. So, Samson, just be content where you are. You're not going anywhere anytime soon. Tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience. You see, Samson is now experiencing the things that he didn't experience as a believer whenever he was running helter-skelter into Philistia, back to Israel, down to Timnath, across to Gaza. He's now in the secret place with God, and if he'd only learned that secret years before, how much tears and heartache could have been saved. So he's learning experience. Tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope. Or in other words, faith. Hope is rising in the heart of Samson that this God that he's becoming to know again in the secret place is a God that can quicken him and a God that can revive him and a God that can use him again. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. And you see how this great man of God is finding a way back from failure. The renewal of a vow, the remittance of time, the reviving of faith, the restoration of strength. As we have said before, Samson's hair was symbolic of his strength. Having had his head shaved, his power was gone, and all the Philistines could see that Samson is now a different man. Over the years, I've taken a little bit of an interest in boxing. Not doing it, but reading about it and watching it. And some of you will remember a fighter called Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier was the one-time heavyweight champion of the world. The last real fight that he had was against Muhammad Ali in Manila. A fight that almost killed both of them, and most sports pundits say that neither man was ever the same again after that fight. Ali said that he felt at that fight that he was in the near room to death. But Joe Frazier came back a few months later in 1976 and tried to have a go again at George Foreman. And he got his head shaved for some reason before the fight. And so as Frazier stood in the ring and he took off his robe and he pulled his hood back, the commentators couldn't understand why this man had got his head shaved. It was an unusual thing for an African-American to do in the 1970s. But as the fight progressed, they realized that the power and the sparkle and the skill had all gone. And he wasn't the same fighter that he was before whenever he fought Ali and held a championship belt high above his head. Something had gone, and the man in the ring with the shaved head has lost his sparkle. And that's what the world saw whenever they saw Samson. They saw this man that took foxes and firebrands. They saw this man that carried away the gates of Gaza, that slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of an ass. But as they watched this shaven-headed man in the prison house at Gaza, they realized that the power is gone. But what they failed to realize was that Samson's God was a God of mercy and a God of forgiveness. And Samson's hair is beginning to grow again, and all these things are happening in Samson's life and in Samson's heart, and the old time power is coming back again into Samson's life. And friends, it's that same power that we need to receive again today. Lord, the hymn writer says, send the old time power, the Pentecostal power. The floodgates of blessing on us through open wide. Lord, send the old-time power that sinners may be converted and that your name glorified. Failure need not be final. Here's a man, and it's like he's training in God's gymnasium. His hair is growing again. He's learning to pray again. He's learning to walk with God again. He's living a life of consecration again. His hair's growing back. And wouldn't you think that the Philistines would have took notice of that? Not so. Probably they forgot about Samson. Maybe just a couple of men watching him there, and they were so ignorant to the secret of Samson's strength that it didn't really matter that his hair's growing again. A man grinding corn for months on end is a boring thing to watch. And I'm sure the Philistines had convinced themselves, well, without his eyesight, this man will be useless. There's no Israelites in sight to lead him or to rescue him, so he's got no strength as long as he can't see. And because the gods of the nations were so harsh and so severe, they didn't believe in the God of the second chance. And the world will give up on you, friend, before God ever will. God is the God of the second chance, the fourth chance, the fifth chance, the hundredth chance. And they praise the gods of Dagon. But all the while, Samson's hair is beginning to grow again. His life's back on God's altar. He's walking with God again. Time has passed and his faith has been revived and quickened, and the strength is beginning to return. And all these things, friend, can happen today in your life. You've maybe failed. You've maybe let the Lord down. You're maybe part of the army of backsliders that we have in Northern Ireland in this present day. But it doesn't have to be that way. There's a way back from failure. Failure need not be final. Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again. The same thing can happen for you today. This is a verse of hope, a verse of optimism, after a time of great loss and great tragedy. And maybe the Lord spoke into your heart this morning and he said to you, you know, that's just what you need. You need the hair to grow again in your life. You need to rebuild those old altars. You need to redig those old wells. You need to renew those old vows. You need to just give your life back to me. Talk to me. Tell me all about it. Consider your ways. And the Lord promises to revive and to quicken your faith. And here's an opportunity this morning. And you realize as you've looked at the life of Samson over these last weeks and months, that maybe you're a picture of what Samson is today. Someone who once walked well with God. Tragically, through sin, has lost out. There's a way back from failure, friend. The hair of his head began to grow again. It's not been long enough that you've been out of fellowship with the Lord. Time to renew those vows. Seek the Lord. Ask Him to give you back that faith and that strength as well. Let's just have a word of prayer together before we sing our closing hymn.